Right, hello everyone. The next talk is actually from me about how misserver handles SRT connections in independent child processes. This is actually a bit of a hack that we did in the past few months to make something that we wanted to work, and I figured it would be interesting to share because SRT is a common common protocol to share media over. For reference, I am the lead of the misserver team. For context, we need to first go over what is misserver exactly, otherwise the rest of this talk won't make sense. I'll try to keep this short. Misserver is a media server software package that's been in development for about 16 years or so. It's free and open source, unlicensed. We have only one edition, the free one, and that's it, and everything is completely open. We focus on transmuxing and easy integration, which means it's very developer-centric. So that means that it is something that takes media feeds. We focus mostly on transmuxing, meaning that we don't do encoding, though we can, but we prefer not to. And we take things in any protocol and send it to any protocol. With a focus on if you want to put this in some other system, well, then this is the tool you would use. Now, a more interesting thing that we need to go a little bit in depth in is that MIS uses a separate process for every connection, ingoing, outgoing, doesn't matter. Every connection, separate process. This is less efficient, and web servers stopped doing this, like, I think, 20, 30, maybe more years ago. But why are we doing it? Because with media, you don't really get all that many connections on a single machine. Like, most servers have maybe a gigabit of internet. That means that if you do a decent level of quality, 500 users and your connection is full. So the CPU is usually kind of bored on the media server. It's usually the network card that is working its ass off. But the CPU is kind of bored, the RAM is kind of bored. So we don't actually need to be super efficient with the CPU. And why would we opt for this? Because it gives us better isolation between clients. So each of these inputs, each of these outputs, they have a separate process running. So this is not a thread, this is not a subtask or anything. No, this is like an actual separate program running, handling that connection. And that gives us very good isolation in the sense that if someone is doing something weird with say, an RTMP input or something, and they're trying to crash the server, they can crash their own connection, but they can't crash anyone else's. So this is a property that we really, really like. But there is a problem with this property, because a couple years ago, back in 2012-ish, Haivision created a protocol called SRT, Secure Reliable Transport, not to be confused with SRT, the subtitle format. I don't know why they named it that either. This basically takes MPEG-TS streams, and it sends them over a fancy pipe that takes care of problems on the internet, so retransmissions, packet loss, stuff like that. It makes sure that you have a stable feed. It was open sourced in 2017, and since then it's really had a bit of an uptake in people using it, because like the big studios and such, they generally send MPEG-TS over all kinds of connections, and with SRT they can start using the internet rather than cables. And especially the fancy cables that the broadcast industry uses, they tend to be quite expensive. The hardware that works with them is also expensive, hard to get, hard to maintain. And using the internet is just kind of easier. So this all sounds great. And of course, well, as soon as this was open source, we put it in there and it works. However, there is a small problem with it. You would say, okay, libSRT, the reference implementation made by Haivision themselves, it's open source, it's in C++. MIS is open source, libSRT is open source. You can just use that, right? Well, we technically can. There are two other options as well. Pipe has their own implementation called upmpsrt, which is very closely tied to upipe, and it's not a film implementation, so we can't use that one. And there's also GoSRT, but it seems to have been written in a bit of a rush. I didn't actually personally test it, but it's also written in Go and also a partial implementation, so we couldn't really do that with C++ without going through a whole bunch of hoops. That left libSRT as the only viable option for using SRT. But there's a minor inconvenience with libSRT, because libSRT takes ownership of the underlying UDP sockets. And this means that we tell libSRT, okay, go boot, listen on this port, start taking connections, and then anything that comes into that port, it goes into that particular library that's running, and we no longer can do our trick where we run a separate process. Like, we're stuck using one process for everything going in or out or anywhere. And that's kind of annoying. That means we lose our fancy advantage. So what can we do to fix this? Well, there are a few solutions that we've considered. One of them would be to add support for forking different binaries to libSRT itself. We would either have to upstream that or fork the entire library. We took one look at the library, and we kind of noped out, because especially when it was just open sourced, the best word to describe what it looked like at the time was spaghetti. Since then, it has improved a little. It's definitely made big strides. They also did all kind of fun things like releasing the spec, which is great, because it was spec'd by implementation at first, and now it's spec'd by spec, and the implementation breaks that spec, but at least it's there. So that was not really an option. And we also think that upstreaming this kind of thing, it would be kind of niche, and they probably wouldn't want it in the main library either way. We did talk to some of the people at Haivision, and they seemed like they might be interested, but I think that if we actually push through, their interest would drop. So the other option would be to write our own implementation. And well, I have talked a little bit with the guys that did their own implementations, and it seems like the takeaway from them is, please don't, because it's kind of horrible. So we decided not to do that either. So then that means there's a problem, right? We could do the modification or the forking. We could do the custom implementation. Back when it was still open sourced initially, we thought, SRT, it might be fad, right? Maybe it will go away. Maybe the industry won't care, and we can just silently ignore it. So we did an initial solution where, you know, we did the kind of ugly thing, and we just used the library, and we just used the one binary, and all the connections go through that one binary. And if it crashes for some reason, well, a lot of them just go bye-bye. And we didn't like that. You know, this was the situation, but we're like, it's probably fine, right? But the unfortunate part is that SRT actually ended up sticking around. In fact, it got quite popular, and it is now more or less the de facto default protocol for sending media over the internet for broadcast industry things. So that's kind of a problem then, right? We have a crappy implementation that we don't like, our customers don't like, but we kind of want to improve it. So what can we do? So we started looking around a little bit. And as I mentioned in a couple slides back, the SRT spec is available now. Here we have some nice screenshots from the spec. There we have the header. And here we have specifically in a handshake packet what is in the rest of the packet. And I've highlighted a couple things here. Initially in the header, there's the first 4 bytes. Those mention what type of packet it is. And if the control type is 0 and the subtype is 0, that means it's a handshake packet. Well, that's convenient, because that means that it's just 1000000000. That's pretty easy to recognize. We don't really care about any of the rest, because we're not trying to implement the protocol. We're just trying to see, is this a new connection coming in, right? Then if you have the handshake packet, you can see in the type, okay, what kind of handshake is it? Is it a rendezvous handshake where we have to have two endpoints connecting to each other? Is there a regular one where someone's connecting in? And that brings us to an implementation that looks like this. Check if those 4 bytes are that, and it's a handshake. Check if bytes 36 to 39 are all zeros, then it's a rendezvous packet. Well, that's nice and easy, isn't it? Let's just check 4 bytes, check 4 more bytes. So that means that we can do a nice little trick. And we came up with this trick. Before I go into what the exact trick is, I need to go over UDP sockets real quick, because not everyone might know the full details of those. So I assume most people here do know that UDP is a connectionless protocol. So if you have a UDP socket, it's not connected, really. It just sends packets, and it might receive packets, depending on if it was bound to a port. But that's pretty much it. However, you can connect the UDP socket. So let's say that we have a socket here listening on the generic port, the catch-all interface on a particular port, and people are sending data to it. Those will all come into that same socket on the system. But if you now open a second socket and connect that to one of those endpoints by saying, okay, we're listening on the particular interface that's receiving those packets, and we're going to be sending to the interface and the port that is sending them to us, then this happens. The data from that particular client will go to that socket, while everything else will go to the generic one. So we can do a neat little trick where we listen on a generic socket. If we see a handshake, we spawn a new process. We create a connected socket. And I think I actually have this in the next slide. Yes. So we listen on the main port ourselves. We intercept it. That's a Wireshark joke. We spawn a new process if we see a handshake. We initialize the libsrt library at that point after we've already received the handshake. And we give it the connected UDP socket and say, here, listen on this one. Trust us, it's going to work out. And guess what? It's going to see a handshake packet because those handshake packets get repeated a whole bunch of times. So, you know, we purposefully drop the first one, but it's going to see a handshake packet. And it's going to be like, oh, hey, a handshake packet. And it will accept that one connection, and it will never see another connection in its life because that's a connected socket. So it will only see that one user. And the libsrt documentation actually explicitly states that you should not and cannot do this. But if you do, it totally works. And I checked with the original author of SRT, and he said it should be fine. So that kind of works. And then we get our nice little trick where we can get a standard unmodified version of libsrt, and we get multi-process isolation and kind of the best of both worlds. We can, you know, listen on a generic port, spawn multiple processes all we want, and none of them caching will hurt the others, and we get normal SRT connections without having to rewrite everything from scratch. And that's the magical little trick that I wanted to show here. Which brings me to the end of the presentation. I think I went through it quite fast. Yeah, not too bad. So now we're here for questions. Are there any? Yes?
So are you just dropping the first handshake packet? So you're receiving that and the client will send another one?
I'll repeat the question quick so that the people on the stream know what you asked. The question was, do we drop the first handshake packet and expect the other side to send another one? Yes, absolutely. We actually looked and the SRT spec, it sends approximately 50 or 60 handshake packets in the first second. As dropping the first one, it doesn't really hurt the connection. We could do a fancy thing where we tell the library that we saw the packet or we fake one, but we found it was not necessary and just made it unnecessarily complex. So we kind of stuck with that implementation. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead.
Does this work with multiplexing SRT?
So the question is, does this work with multiplexing where you have multiple clients sending on the same port and all going to a different stream ID, right? Yes, that is the whole reason we did this, so that we could have one port and we could send, you know, dozens of different streams in or out over the same port and they would not bother each other. That's the whole idea behind it. Yep, absolutely. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead.
Does this mean that MIS server is always listening for is MIS server always looking for SRT connections even when you're not using SRT?
So good question. It is MIS server always listening for SRT connections even if you're not using SRT? It depends. You can configure MIS to listen on one or more SRT ports, and you can describe once, and if you do that, it will listen, and if you don't configure that, it will not. Okay. Simple as that. Anyone else? No? Okay, well then I guess that was it. If you want to find out more about MIS server, visit us, misserver.org or scan.code. You can also send me personally an email or info@misserver if you want to team. We hope to hear from you if you're interested. All right. Thanks for your attention.